The following program has been brought to you by Rolling Press, a family-run, eco-friendly printing company. For more information, visit rollingpress.com.
You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
Machine and picked up Mr. Boynes.
Everybody's having fun, and we only just begun. We gonna party till the morning come. We gonna party till the morning come.
Hi, this is Jackie Berger, and you're here, and I'm here with Allie Kane, and you're listening to Just Food Stories, airing live at heritageradionetwork.org. If you missed the live broadcast, you can always find us archived at heritageradionetwork.org and as a podcast on iTunes and Stitcher. Just Food is a nonprofit organization committed to helping people build community food projects. We know that people all over New York City know that we need to change our food system, and they want to make that change, but so often people don't even know where to start. So we'd like to take the next half hour to introduce you to someone who started, taking her passion and skills to bring change. Hopefully her story will inspire you to create your own Just Food story. So welcome, Lily. Do we have you on the line?
Hi, I'm here. Good morning.
Hi, good morning, Lily. I'm so glad that you could join us.
Absolutely.
So Lily is in everything. In her professional world, she is a photographer, and she does wedding photography, event photography, and she's amazing in that right. But then she's also an incredible urban agriculturalist. She's part of, she has been the impetus behind a chicken project in the South Bronx. She's a Farm School NYC graduate, I believe. You're a graduate, right, Lily?
I'm finishing up my apprenticeship hours, but I finished all the coursework, so I'm almost there.
So she's a current student, but she's wrapping that up, and she's also pursuing a master compost certificate. And as of this Saturday, she will be leading a farmer's market. So we're very excited to have you on the line with us, Lily. Thank you so much for making the time this morning.
Absolutely. Thanks for having us.
Okay. Oh, us? Is it you or is it other people too?
It's just me and the market.
It is you, the royal South Bronx Urban Ag representing. That was awesome.
Yes.
So I'm here with Allie, and we have a bunch of questions for you about all of these things. Allie, do you want to get us started?
Yeah. Hi, Lily. Nice to meet you.
Hi. Thank you.
We started this program really to introduce people to people's stories. You know, people who aren't necessarily in the urban ag movement from birth, but who come at it from all different perspectives. And I think it really gives people an understanding that they can get involved and also keep their day jobs and bring what they can from their day jobs kind of to this food movement. And I think you're a really great example of that, just reading all I have about you. That, but what's the connection? Where did you go from wedding and event photographer into chickens?
Well, so a few years, about 5 years ago, I was interested in having chickens in my home. 6 years ago, we moved to the South Bronx, and I live a block away from Brook Park, which is a large community garden, and we have a backyard. And so my husband and I were interested in raising chickens, so I actually went to the chicken rearing class with the Air over at Amani Garden in Brooklyn, and that was my introduction to chickens, and I was definitely hooked. And so we were thinking about having chickens in our yard, and I thought, you know, wouldn't a community coop be more fun and get more people involved. And so we actually reached out to Just Food, and we held a chicken rearing course. We actually had Abu Talib of Taqwa Community Farms come and lead a workshop on both propagation and also urban chicken rearing. And so we had some people who came to that. And then we applied for the Just Food grant, and we received that. So we had Just Food's support in building our community coop, and that has been an extremely successful project where we have 14 volunteers volunteering every week. We have two shifts a day.
And I just want to slow you down for a second.
And what they do is they actually take care of the hens in exchange for the eggs. So the eggs are only for our volunteers.
So I want to pause and go back for a second, because 14 volunteers, that's a lot of human beings to wrangle into
a
project.
It's hard to get one volunteer.
I know.
You know?
And I feel like, Lily, as we talked to you this morning about all of the work that you've done and all the things that you're a part of in your community, I think one of the things that's amazing about you is you've been so good at mobilizing your neighbors and helping to create a project that isn't, I mean, you are an incredible leader, but the projects are not all about you. You have this incredible team that you've been able to mobilize, and you really share responsibility. How have you been able to do that?
Well, you know, I'm not quite sure. I didn't have a lot of volunteer management experience. I did run my own company, which gave me, you know, tight organizational skills. But I have to say, at the build, you know, when we had the build, I would say four or five of the volunteers I met when we were building the coop. There's a lot of need for fresh, healthy food in the Bronx. People just sort of showed up. I sort of use the term, if you build it, they will come. And, you know, chickens are attractive. There aren't a lot of urban chicken coops in the Bronx. And there's definitely a need for a good, high-quality protein here. So it's a great way to interact with families, provide something for them. And, you know, I'm not quite sure, but I think that chickens themselves are sort of the attraction.
Well, so what does it look like? I mean, I've never seen this community coop. What does it look like, and how does it work, and how do you make sure that things don't come in and things don't go out and all of that?
Sure. So you can actually, we have, our chickens actually have their own blog and Twitter account.
Awesome.
And so if you go to brookparkchickens.blogspot.com, you can actually see photos of the coop. We actually, I took a time-lapse photo of the build, so there's actually a link on there, and you can see it being built in 20 seconds, which is kind of funny. And so it's a great coop. It's the home of 12 chickens right now, and these are chickens we actually purchased from Stone Barns, so they're wonderful laying hens. And so what we do is it's an honor program. All of our volunteers have keys to the coop and the run, and basically the volunteers go in, you know, before 9 o'clock in the morning, and they sign in. There's a little sign-in sheet. We log all of the eggs that are laid and collected, and then usually there's about a dozen eggs in the morning, so they set aside 6 eggs for the person who comes at night, and they just, you know, refill the water and the food, and they can also bring their kitchen scraps for tasty treats for the hens. And then we also have a tractor, which we built with money from Citizens Committee, so we can have, I call them chicken outings, so the chickens can actually go out during the day if there's a volunteer who can kind of keep an eye on them, and they can work the beds.
It's amazing.
That is amazing. How much time do you have to devote to this? And I do think that, you know, I just took a quick peek at the website. You do bring your aesthetic from your professional life, clearly, to all of this, even the announcement for the farmers market. And do you think that's a part of it? Do you think people are attracted to the way that you make it look? I don't know if the actual coop looks like, you know,
So I want to say, like, because I want to tag on to what Allie's saying, because I have seen this time-lapse video or time-lapse photography where you see basically in 2 days a coop going from nothing to existence. And what is amazing, what is remarkable about watching it, aside from it being really fun to watch that, is that half the time you can't even see the coop because there are so many people in the shot. There's so many people who came to be part of the coop build. So before there were even chickens. So, like, is it, do you think that it's the way that you do outreach? Like the fact that you have this kind of social media mind, do you feel like that's part of what drives people into these projects?
I'm not, you know, I think it can help, but I would say that people's need and passion for fresh food and these kind of agricultural products that are viable for people who live in apartment buildings is the main attraction. I think that, you know, I definitely try to use my, you know, design skills to enhance projects, but these are true community projects. These volunteers, I would say that the eggs are a huge incentive for people to be volunteers. We actually have a waiting list for people who for volunteers right now.
Wow.
But I think it's the need for fresh food in the community, and also the leadership of Friends of Brook Park. There's a lot of visitors to that park. It's a big space. It's a true community space. So there's all sorts of events that happen there. There's a youth, summer youth employment farm there. There's community gardens. And I would say I really try to keep true to the nature that this is a community project.
Right.
This isn't my project. I'm just, you know, leading it. But I actually spend very little time managing our volunteers. They're great. They show up. They cover for each other. So they're all in contact with each other. So if one person's going away, they need a shift covered. They email everybody, and then my job is really just to go purchase the feed, and then I do the fundraising to pay for the feed, so volunteers do not pay to be in the program.
Right, that's awesome. Have there been challenges to this? I mean, what, just if someone was very inspired by your story and wanted to go start their own, what would you say to watch out for?
Well, I'm actually leading some, I'm a Just Food Chicken trainer, so I am leading several more workshops at another garden called Paradise on Earth. I think it's important to go to workshops and meet other people. There's a few books on chicken keeping. One is called A Chicken in Every Yard. But I do think that keeping chickens, you don't have to be a professional farmer. I think getting experience and tips from farmers is important. They are livestock, but they are also animals, and you know, people keep cats and dogs and all sorts of other pets, and you don't have to be a veterinarian,
right,
you know, to have an animal. I think it's very doable, and I think that community projects are great in a way that you share responsibility and help. I would say, you know, we've had very few problems with our hens. I think we have dedicated volunteers that even in the past snowstorms were great about digging the door out and, you know, getting the food and fresh water. But they don't really require a whole lot of work.
That's great. I wanted, while we're talking about chickens and the coops and all of the educational programming, because there's a lot of resources out there for people to tap into. There's the City Chicken Meetup Group. There are these institutes. Both there's the Paradise on Earth is in the Bronx, right, Lily?
Yes.
And there's another chicken institute in Brooklyn. So there are a lot of places people can go for education and for resources. And so I just want to plug really quickly. There's a Kegs and Cluckers party that's going to be happening in July 14th at Brooklyn Brewery. If you put Kegs and Cluckers in Google, you can find out about that. And Just Food is running a City Chicken campaign right now to raise funds for the work that we do to help communities like Lily's to build coops and do support the education work and pay trainers to lead workshops on how to raise happy, healthy hens in New York City. So if people are interested in coming out, drinking some beer, eating some deviled eggs, and having a great time with us, I hope they'll come out and join us. We have a lot of market stuff to talk about because I'm really excited to talk to you about your new market. We're going to take a short break right now, and then we'll be back in just a few minutes with Just Food Stories on heritageradionetwork.org.
You are listening to Onions Milk by Iggy Dean on the Heritage Radio Network.org.
Today's program was brought to you by Rolling Press. Rolling Press is a family-run digital and offset print house that brings together eco-friendly methods, ethical practices, and personalized service. Using environmentally responsible papers, non-toxic inks, and wind power, Rolling Press represents the harmony of traditional craftsmanship and mindful sustainability. Rolling Press offers advice on reducing paper waste and energy consumption, helping you save money and minimize your carbon footprint. For more information, visit rollingpress.com.
Hi, welcome back. I'm Jackie Berger, and I'm here with Allie Kane, and you're listening to Just Food Stories on heritageradionetwork.org, and we're here with Lily Kesselman from the South Bronx, talking to her about chickens, markets, farming in the city, and bringing really good, healthy, locally grown food into New York City communities.
So it looks like your next project, Lily, is starting this Saturday, which is very exciting, and we'll plug it as much as we can in a little bit and give everyone all the information. But how did the chicken coop lead into a weekend farmers market?
So I would say they're somewhat related. There is a CSA that actually Friends of Brook Park participates in, and the park is a drop-off area for the CSA, which is run by Corbin Hill this year. And, you know, I noticed for myself, I was really looking for a market that was open when I was able to shop. Mm-hmm. And there are several farmers markets in the South Bronx. There's one at Padre Plaza on Wednesdays, and then there's La Finca had a farm stand, but I was really looking to have a market that was available on the weekends that could be in a busy, vibrant street with lots of foot traffic. And you know, through farm school, I've met a lot of farmers, a lot of urban agriculturalists. There's many connections with people who are farming both in the city and also in the country. And I was looking to start something to increase the fresh food access in the South Bronx. There are many health problems in our community. One is a very high percentage of asthma, as well as childhood obesity. And mm-hmm. these are, you know, projects or topics that are interesting to me. The chicken program was definitely a way to provide fresh food, but I really wanted to expand on that. And then, you know, we've kind of put the word out, and now we have a whole team of people working on this. But it's really trying to get a place where farmers can come and sell, make a profit so they keep coming back, right, and offer these fresh products to our community that's really looking forward to this and is really anticipating the opening of this market.
It sounds like, you know, just distilling what you've been saying about all of your projects, it sounds like you have a really good way of, you know, I think sometimes people sort of act in a silo a little bit and they think, wow, I have this idea for this, and they try to do it all on their own and they don't necessarily look around at all the resources that are available. And it sounds like you've been really conscious about meeting the people who have done this, going to people who have experience, going to people who could be supportive, and not trying to build something by yourself. And I think that's something that people can definitely learn from your experiences, that it's good to go to these conferences and go to these meetings and meet other people involved, because you never know what's going to come of it. And you end up with all these different partners, and, you know, it never really works when it's just you, because, you know, for a variety of reasons. I mean, tell me a little bit about that in terms of your experience.
So we were very grateful to be in the Just Food City Markets. There's a farmers market training course that mm-hmm. was led by Nadia Johnson. Mm-hmm. And she actually brought in teams of groups that wanted to start markets. And I think that's because, you know, Just Food understands these are community projects. Right. And we need more than one person to learn how to operate a market. So that was very helpful. So the training was great because it taught us all the differences between different kinds of food subsidies, including SNAP, EBT, Farmers Market Nutrition Programs, and WIC, which is Women, Infants, and Children, right, as well as the logistics of getting your permits, insurance, outreach, trucks, talking to electeds, and all that. So I would say the training really helped us keep this a community project. It's definitely too much work for one person to do.
Especially, right, as a hobby-ish, right, type of thing. Right.
I'm sorry?
Right. No, it's a huge commitment because you're doing this on summer weekends. So it's every Saturday. People expect that kind of consistency. And I think, and again, it's clear that you have pulled together an incredible team that's going to be sharing the work and sharing the responsibility. And I know that you feel like it's because, I think you're right, like it's because there's this clear need for this in your community. But I also feel like not everybody is as good as you are at getting that team of helpers together. And I know that you've also done a really great job of like finding important community partners. Can you talk to us a little bit about like what are the key alliances that you feel like you that have lined up and coalesced around this market that are going to make it more robust?
Yeah, and if you can talk a little bit about a community partner, you know, sort of because I think there are a lot of people who really would love to be doing what you're doing and just don't know like what is step one and what these things are.
Well, step one was taking the markets class through Just Food. Step two was attaining funding, which we received. We are actually relying on one grant, which is from Citizens Committee of New York City. We received a $3,000 grant from them, and that is pretty much all we're using to get started. So, you know, some funding. They are a wonderful partner. They help us with not only our funding, but our community outreach. They're helping us with our press work for this upcoming event. So they're definitely an important partner for us. We also have some other really great community partners. One is Youth Advocates Program, which is providing actually to youth for the summer to have one-day paid job every weekend to youth that live in the neighborhood. So they're
great.
Actually providing the youth, and they are paying them themselves.
Great.
Yeah. So those are some important community partners. And also the church. There's a church where we are storing all of our equipment for the market, which is an important part of having a market, so we're not having to load everything in and out. There's a large church called St. Jerome's, and they have been very helpful. They've actually they've mentioned our market in their, like, after their sermons, and they've also put our market in their newsletter. They're helping promote it because they also feel that there's a lack of fresh, affordable food here. And they have a very high percentage of Spanish speakers, so we actually, which is, you know, indicative of our neighborhood, there's many Spanish speakers. So our outreach is in both English and Spanish, and there's even one page on our website that's, you know, gives all the information, you know, just the basic information in Spanish. So community partners are key. You know, they help with outreach, they help with funding, they get things done, and, you know, supporting the launch of our market is really important.
Yeah. And how, other than through those community partners, are you promoting it to people in the community?
So we actually flyer. So we have signs along in the windows of the businesses across the street. Many have been great at letting us put up signage. We have signs up in our public library. And then actually we've been working on a pretty large surveying project. Getting community buy-in is really important, and getting ideas and thoughts from people who live in the community of what they're looking for and will they shop here? What subsidies, what kind of food subsidies do they need us to accept? So that's been good. We've surveyed probably over 70 individuals, and we're going to continue doing that so we understand what the need is. And that's been very effective. People are saying that they want to buy, you know, more fresh local food. They would like great, friendly customer service.
Mm-hmm.
One
mm-hmm.
person put in that survey they would like vegetables that don't taste like a damp basement.
Oh, no.
And then also it's been a great way to get volunteers. You know, we've had volunteers saying, you know, this is a great project. There's someone who we actually reached out to. There's several NYCHA housing facilities in our neighborhood. One is called Mitchell Houses. I reached out to the president of their tenants association, and she called me back in about 5 seconds when she heard the word farmers market. She invited us to her tenants association meeting. She's putting up flyers. And also we've reached out, and we did a presentation at our local community board. That's probably one of the most important things is to get us – permit, you need to get the sign-off from your local community board. But they were, they're all on board, and they're excited, and some of those members have also been volunteering with us as well.
And you got all this information with the farmers market training program, yeah?
A lot of information is given out in that course. That was a very comprehensive class, and then you sort of have to take things kind of on your own.
Being an
entrepreneur, I understand trying to maximize your budgeting, and so we're pretty much doing most of this on a shoestring. And Twitter is effective, and our website's been effective. So, we've been doing a lot of this, all of it on our own.
It's amazing work. I'm curious about one thing you said. When you're surveying the community and, first of all, were there any surprises in terms of what produce your community was looking for? But also, you did mention that customer service piece. And does that in any way affect the farmers or the vendors that you'd like to work with? Is there a particular type of farmer or vendor that is better suited to this type of project, would you say? When I've had other guests on, they've talked about it's not just access. It's access in a palatable, friendly, aesthetically pleasing way. And that's something that's missing. It's not just, people talk about, quote unquote, food deserts. Sometimes there's food. It's just not.
Yeah.
It's just not, it's not just food. And so can you talk a little bit about how you've sort of, have you chosen your vendors, or are they just the natural choices because they kind of came to you and they said they were excited about this? And, how has that worked?
So we have some great farms involved, one of which is Jalal Sabour, who is was also a farm school student, and also Wasaic Community Farm. Both of those farms have much passion and interest in environmental and food justice. They have incredible links to our community, and they have actually been at farmers markets in our community for a very long time. Uh-huh. And they're very passionate about providing access to fresh fruits and vegetables to our community. They see the lack of those products here. They are doing everything they can to bring those products here. That's really important. Wasaic Community Farm also is one of the very few farmers that grows and sells medicinal herbs and teas. Mm-hmm. And they find those products are very helpful to people in our community. They can help with blood sugar issues, pre-diabetes, hypertension, things like that. So that's something that's really important. And then Mimomex is a farm that is very community oriented. They ran a CSA out of Sunset Park. I think they still do that as well. Mm-hmm. And they're what we're looking for are diversified family farms. So we want farms that are creating many products. They are not monoculture farms, so they're not just growing one or two things. They're growing a variety of things, and my farm school education has definitely taught me a lot about that, and the fact that these diversified farms can use natural practices for pest management and soil health, right, which is important. And the fact that these farmers are living on their farms, they're not doing these, sprays of their crops. They're not using GMO seeds. And so those are the farmers we're looking for.
That's amazing. Lily, thank you so much for joining us. For more information for our listeners on the South Bronx Farmers Market, I think your best bet is to go to www.southbronxfarmersmarket.com. Yes?
Yep.
And
yep.
brookparkchickens.com for that live, or that, what's it called? The
blog, the chicken blog?
No, the video that shows it being built really quickly.
That's on justfood.org as well.
Okay, so.
All these places should go.
All these places you should go. And of course, any information that anybody wants on any of the ways that Just Food can help you build your community food project, justfood.org. We are available.
So Lily, again, thank you so much for joining us this morning. I hope you guys have a great day and good weather on Saturday. I hope you have a great launch of your farmer's market.
Great. Thank you so much.
And I want to thank Joe Galarraga for engineering today's show. Hopefully her story has helped to inspire you to create your own Just Food story. You can always find archived episodes of Just Food Stories on heritageradionetwork.org and as a podcast on iTunes and Stitcher. And remember, if you have any questions for the program, you can call in live at 718-497-2128 or email us at info@heritageradionetwork.org. See you next week, and thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions at any time at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.